Welcome to NSL Unscripted, a national security law podcast, brought to you by the National Security Law Department at the U.S. Army's The Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. We bring you conversations and hot topics from NSL practitioners today and hope you enjoy this episode.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever, whatever time of day it is where you're listening to this. Today on NSL Unscripted, I'm interviewing Dr. Jill Goldenzill, Professor, National Defense University College of Information and Cyberspace, Senior Affiliated Scholar, Fox Leadership International and Partnership for Innovation, Cross-Sector Collaboration, Leadership and Organization, University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Goldenzill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Today, there's a lot of areas we could dive into as far as your areas of expertise, but today I'd like to focus and talk to you about lawfare. And really, before we dive in, could you describe for our audience what lawfare is?
Sure. Lawfare is most concisely described as the use of law as a weapon of war. I define it a bit more broadly as the strategic use of law, the strategic purposeful use of law, to achieve a particular strategic, operational, or tactical objective against a particular adversary, or to bolster the legitimacy of one's own objectives, or undermine the legitimacy of an adversary's. I defined it that way back in an article in 2020-2021 in order to come up with an operationalizable definition of lawfare, and I'm very honored and fortunate to say that it has been operationalized in some ways in the force. Before we move forward, I do want to say that the term lawfare can be controversial because for some people and some organizations and states, it has a negative connotation. I define lawfare as having a neutral term. It's neither positive nor negative. It can be used by good guys and bad guys. It can be used by civilian and military agencies. Some other terms that you might hear for lawfare include legal operations. That's what NATO currently uses, or international legal operations.
I know you've written a lot on lawfare, but where did you first become interested in lawfare? How did you get involved with the scholarship and going out to meetings and speaking on lawfare?
The term lawfare first came into the legal academic lexicon back in 2001, when then Colonel, later Major General, and now Professor Charlie Dunlap noticed that law was being used by our adversaries in order to disrupt and undermine U.S. and coalition actions on the battlefield. And what he was looking at particularly then was violent non-state actors, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, using things like human shields in order to exploit U.S. ally and partner compliance with the law of war. Unfortunately, a phenomenon which is very much still going on. So I became aware of it back as a law student back then, interested in national security law. And then the more personal story is back in about 2015, I was sitting at a friend's dinner table. He's an international lawyer, always working on really interesting stuff. And I said to him, hey, what are you working on now? And he said, well, I'm representing the Philippines in this really big arbitration against China. And I said, stop right there. That is my next research project. That is absolutely fascinating. I'm about to start this job at Marine Corps University. There's pretty much no one better positioned to write about this than me, so I'm gonna do it. And I applied for a grant from the Department of Defense's Minerva Initiative. Minerva, Goddess of War and Wisdom, they fund projects that are relevant to the Department of Defense. And I started working on it. And there was a long buildup, and the first, I started teaching an elective on it at Marine Corps University in 2020 and started working on an article on it at that time, and literally right here at Tejaglis, shortly before I started even putting pen to paper, I spoke for the first time on lawfare, and it took off, and it's taken over my life ever since, almost in terms of speaking engagements and writing on it, both in the popular press and in academic articles, and I have really loved the experience of having my work actually inspire programs for the force.
As far as the programs for the force, I know PACOM has taken some actions. What nations do we consider using lawfare the most? What nations are currently operationally using lawfare?
I would say that China is the world's most sophisticated practitioner of lawfare. China says that the U.S. is the world's most sophisticated practitioner of lawfare. Other states that we've seen using lawfare include Iran and Russia, certainly very much so both. We're also seeing violent non-state actors, as I mentioned, use lawfare like Hamas, and I would say a lot of the litigation surrounding the Israel-Gaza conflict in the International Court of Justice involving South Africa versus Israel, Nicaragua versus Germany, I would also consider that to be lawfare. China has had what they call legal warfare underpinning its military doctrine, really its civil military fusion doctrine, since at least 1963. It might be before that, but this is the first written formulation of it that we can find. And it really, they consider legal, what they call legal warfare, sometimes translated as lawfare, to be equivalent to combat. It's one of three warfares, along with media warfare and psychological warfare, that underpins all of their influence operations. So I would argue that they have a more sophisticated lawfare strategy than we do, and we haven't done much on the national level to counter that. However, since about 2022-2023, Indo-PACOM has had a counter-lawfare program dedicated to countering Chinese legal warfare. And UCOM now also has a counter-lawfare program. SOUTHCOM is very interested in countering lawfare. Whether they will have a program or not remains to be seen. So while we don't have a U.S. government strategy yet, we are seeing more and more interest in lawfare, particularly from DOD.
From these beginnings, what are the ways that the U.S. could or does practice lawfare?
So, first of all, the U.S. would be very reluctant to say that it practices lawfare. Indo-PACOM has chosen to call it a counter-lawfare program, specifically to distinguish what it is doing from what the PRC is doing. Again, there's a terminology problem, and I like to say our adversaries are laughing at us because we're so caught up in this terminology. Do we call it lawfare? Do we call it legal operations? Do we call it something else? In the meantime, they are out there doing it. So, but what the U.S. does to use law strategically or purposefully to achieve a particular strategic operational tactical objective or to bolster legitimacy is really two particular things in, I can speak to two particular things in Indo-PACOM's counter-lawfare program. Their two main lines of effort are information and partnership. So information, publicizing PRC malign behavior, what they're doing in the South China Sea, what they're doing in the Philippines, how they're undermining the use of law, how they're interpreting law in and asserting their legal view and sometimes getting our allies and partners to even believe it in ways that no other nation on earth interprets, say, the law of the sea, and how they are trying to take areas in the South China Sea by really fait accompli. Those are examples. We also publicize how we, the U.S. and Indo-PACOM, operate legally, fly, sail, and operate wherever international law allows, in conjunction together with our allies and partners, and rally a coalition of like-minded nations to protect the rule-based international order.
I think you've already spoken to this a little bit, but as far as the DOD's efforts to improve our, I guess, counter-lawfare capabilities, what steps have been taken in the counter-lawfare? I know it's information and nation building, but is there anything else we're working towards as far as improving these capabilities?
So we've seen programs, nascent programs, strong interests at least three combatant commands. And I think those are the most developed efforts that are out there. Navy Code 10, their International Operational Law Division, also held a Countering the Misuse of Law working group to study the problem and look at what the Navy should be doing about countering the misuse of law or lawfare, whatever we want to call it. And I will see what comes out of that effort for sure. I can say overall, there's been a lot of interest. I'm a fellow with NATO. They've given me a prize for my work in this area, and I have spoken to several of their commands at this point. I spoke at the SpaceCom Legal Conference this year, which held an entire panel on space lawfare. I think it is something that is much more in the DoD lexicon, certainly in the legal world, than it was 5 years back. Whether we will see institutional efforts towards it in the future, such as a DoD-wide working group, an interagency working group, a DoD-wide lawfare program, or it written into joint doctrine, I can't say. I know that one of INDOPACOM's goals is to have it written into doctrine, either for INDOPACOM or overall for the joint force.
As far as our partner nations and our allies, what are they doing now, and maybe specifically NATO in the area of lawfare?
Sure. One of the reasons I think the U.S. needs to be taking lawfare more seriously and developing a interagency nationwide strategic counter-lawfare or lawfare program is because it will enable us to work better with our allies and partners in terms of legal interoperability and in terms of really being able to be more lethal and fight and win. NATO has a legal operations program. They have staff devoted to what they call legal operations. They have a tracking database where they are able to track and monitor lawfare, legal operations, as they call it, developments all over the world, and to the point that they worked very closely with Intel at the time that Russia invaded Ukraine and really were able to track all of the developments in the Duma that led up to the invasion of Ukraine. Russia, not unlike China, by the way, which uses very similar tactics, lays a legal foundation for everything they do. We tend to think of Putin as an authoritarian who doesn't care about law. That's not what actually happens. The Duma lays a legal foundation for everything they do, legal justification for anything they do, whether it's passportization in Korea or the invasion of Ukraine itself. And NATO has a system for integrating this with these legal operations, or sometimes they call it legal intelligence, in with their other operations. And we don't have anything quite so sophisticated yet. Israel also has had a very sophisticated counter-lawfare program for obvious reasons for a long time. They have personnel devoted to this in their Ministry of Justice. France now has a counter-lawfare program in their personnel devoted to studying lawfare in their Ministry of Defense. The UK has it as part of their forward operating campaign plan, I believe. I don't have the name of it in front of me. So we're really behind the curve in having some kind of national strategy to operate better with our allies and partners, counter adversaries, and there is so much more that we can be doing in this realm.
In light of our allies, our partners, and our adversaries utilizing lawfare or counter-lawfare, do you have any suggestions as far as how the U.S. could or should move forward with our strategies, whether it's updating doctrine, including in the, any kind of national security strategy or what have you? And if the world were run by Dr. Goldenziel, what would you do? How would you structure our lawfare, counter-lawfare strategy in the U.S.?
Back in 2021, in my article, Law as a Battlefield, the U.S., China, and Global Escalation of Lawfare, which was published in Cornell Law Review, I argued that the U.S. needs a whole-of-government lawfare strategy. It is not clear who should lead it, but we know that it needs to involve DOD, Department of State, Department of Justice, Department of Treasury, Department of Commerce, USAID at the absolute minimum. USAID is very interested in this problem, and I've been working on it with their Bureau of Democracy Rights and Governance as well. And all of these agencies have a tremendous role to play in ensuring that we can bring to bear all relevant legal tools in a coordinated way to better counter our adversaries. The intel community needs to be very involved in what we would call as lawyers issue spotting, areas where our adversaries are trying to use law for their own strategic advantage, and areas where we the U.S. can get involved, whether that is directly or whether that is working together with our allies and partners to enforce the rule-based international order. And I could go on about this for a while, so I won't hear, but I would encourage anybody interested in this to look, to delve into the article itself. I think that what we need for this is for there to be a hard look, ideally a study probably led by the Department of Defense, just because there's more, there's the most interest here and the most work on this so far, but an interagency study to take a hard look at the best way for the U.S. government to implement a lawfare strategy, perhaps an independent commission to really study the problem and look at the best way for the U.S. to develop a lawfare strategy. I think it ideally should be run out of the National Security Council. That would really mean my running the world in order to get that to happen. And permanence does not always happen in the National Security Council either. I want to see a structure where this doesn't go away, where the U.S. government is considering law permanently to be an instrument of national power and national strategy.
For anyone out there that's interested, any of the national security law practitioners out there who are interested in learning more about lawfare, what would your advice be to them? Is there any area they should focus on, or how would they get better prepared to understand lawfare?
So my first advice would be not to get caught up in the semantic issues of what to call lawfare, counter lawfare. I think that those of us working on the problem all know what we're working on and are more concerned about countering it than what to call it. So call it whatever you need to do that works for you until we have DoD doctrine or ideally a national strategy on lawfare on this issue. Call it what you need to get the job done, first of all. Secondly, in terms of learning more about lawfare, I think that the first place I would go would be to INDOPICOM's J06 Office of Staff Judge Advocate website to look at the resources there for INDOPICOM's counter-lawfare program. And they have other articles listed there on China's lawfare strategy and what academics like I and others would do to counter it. So that's the first resource I would say I would recommend. But really, for practitioners, it's about taking a hard look about what your organization can do, what your unit can do to better prepare for this threat. And for some units, that's going to be, how do we man, train, and equip better? How do we give our judge advocates the training they need and the support they need? Because judge advocates are very busy and don't have time to take the 40,000-foot academic view always on lawfare. How do we give them the training and support they need to be able to support the force on this? How do we make sure everyone from the commander and the judge advocate to the proverbial strategic corporal knows enough about lawfare to be able to spot threats and counter them? And I'll say one thing also to think about is this needs to be coordinated at the national level. It certainly needs to be coordinated by the COCOM level at this point, certainly while we're all starting out and figuring out what we're doing in terms of a U.S. lawfare strategy. But eventually, like any other weapon, anybody holding a gun needs to be empowered to use it. And everybody, not just the judge advocate, needs to be empowered to use lawfare and to be able to defend against it. So if I were a commander, I would be thinking about how to get that done the same way I would be thinking about it if the adversary were pointing any other weapon against me.
to get spun up, are there any particular books or articles addressing lawfare that you would recommend for the practitioners out there?
Sure. So academics are always reluctant to recommend their own work. But in this case, I have to. My Cornell Law Review article that I mentioned before, Law as a Battlefield, I think is a good place to start. I also have columns in Forbes and Bloomberg where I try to write about the latest and greatest as it comes out. And I am hoping to write a book on lawfare. But besides my own work, the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission has a fantastic 2023 report to Congress that has an entire chapter on China's attempts to set norms in law, tech, and AI, in tech and AI, excuse me. And that could be my own research agenda for the next 10 years. I hope it will be other people's research agendas, because I don't think we have 10 years to figure out all of these problems. Anything on the U.N. cyber norms for those interested in cyber. The national security strategy, U.S. national security strategy, says that these are the rules of the road that we are trying to set in the cyber domain together with our partners and adversaries. Really unusual for the U.S. to call out international law like this, in or international norms like this, in a national security strategy. And I think there's a lot to be done on understanding those, understanding what they mean. And really for all practitioners inside and outside the military and the private sector as well, to be helping to promote these norms as well. Dean Cheng, Charlie Dunlap, Ord Khitri also have written fantastic work on lawfare. Ord Khitri's book, Lawfare, Law as a Weapon of War, remains the Bible in this area. It was published in 2016. Charlie, of course, the great patriarch of lawfare in the U.S., as I've mentioned before, and Dean has written some really interesting work about lawfare in the space domain, which is very much a developing issue. So I'd stay, for anyone interested in space, on top of the latest research on that.
Just to close out today, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come down here to TJAGLIX and do this interview. Is there any outgoing save rounds as far as lawfare that you think practitioners should know, or something you just want to leave our listeners with?
I think this is a growing and escalating area. I think that we are likely to see a lot of lawfare over Taiwan in the future if conflict escalates there. We see it in the Philippines literally every single day regarding China's unlawful maritime claims in the West Philippine Sea and the South China Sea. We are seeing it really with all of China's neighbors in China's attempts to assert its new national map, which they did last fall. Vietnam is a hot button issue at the moment. And the International Court of Justice is a huge venue for lawfare right now. We didn't have the chance to talk that much about Russia, but Ukraine actually has a state lawfare strategy. You can look up their website, lawfare.gov.ua. to learn more about that. And the cases involving involving genocide, two of which involve Israel right now, one involving Ukraine and one involving Myanmar versus the Gambia, the courts allowing what they call erga omnes partes jurisdiction, which means that under certain human rights treaties, mostly human rights treaties, but potentially others like the Law of the Sea, any state party can bring suit against another state party for a violation of that treaty. And this opens floodgates to a number of issues before the International Court of Justice. And I think we are going to be seeing a lot more of that. It is not a coincidence that we've seen one forthcoming major genocide decisions so far this year in the International Court of Justice, when the ICJ had seen one genocide case previously in its history. And we're going to see that erga omnes partes jurisdiction used a lot more. It's a topic for another podcast.
Yeah. If any of our listeners would want to reach out to you and discuss anything with you, is there a good way for them to contact you?
Absolutely. I am on LinkedIn. I am also can also be found via my NDU email for where I'm in the GAL for those of you who have access to the GAL. Please feel free to look me up. I love to talk about lawfare, and I'm always happy to do so.
Well, Dr. Goldenziel, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been really helpful for me and I'm sure everyone out there. And look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And it's great to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you.
This episode of NSL Unscripted was brought to you by the National Security Law Department at the U.S. Army's The Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. The views presented are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views of the Department of Defense or its components, the Department of the Army, or the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. Our department also produces the Operational Law Handbook, accessible online. We hope you have enjoyed this episode and look forward to future episodes for NSL practitioners. Thank you.